This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. A former reporter at 90.1 WABE is making some news of his own. Josh Leves is now a correspondent with CNN, but the news he's making has to do with his personal life and his employer. He has filed an EEOC complaint, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, because he wants paid paternity leave after the birth of their third child. Josh Leves has hired an attorney. Andrew Kaufman is a partner at Parks, Chesson, and Walbert here in Atlanta. Mr. Kaufman, welcome. Good to have you.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be here.
Explain the basis of this complaint with the EEOC as quickly as you can.
Yeah, we just, in looking at the policies that provide benefits to fathers and mothers, it appears to us, based on what we've seen, that biological fathers are sort of left out in the cold, and so that's why we brought this charge.
This is an Equal Employment Opportunity Commission complaint. This is not a lawsuit, is that right? And I, as I understand it, the basic idea here is that you have to go this route first before you could consider filing a lawsuit. Is that right?
That's right. The case arises under the Civil Rights Act of 1964, gender discrimination. And that law requires that before you go to court, you have to go through an administrative process and you have to file a charge of discrimination.
So Josh and his wife had a baby. This is their third. He asked for paid paternity leave, about 10 weeks, I believe, under Time Warner's policy. And Time Warner's the parent firm of CNN. And you're saying, okay, mothers get 10 weeks of maternity leave. Why shouldn't fathers? Does it boil down to that?
That's exactly right, yes.
What's been Time Warner's response so far?
Well, Time Warner's response has been maternity leave is different because there is a medical component. There's a period of medical disability associated with the birth of a child that a father does not experience.
And what's the problem with that?
The problem with that is that Time Warner also offers 10 weeks of paid leave to adoptive parents when there is no medical side effect. And I'm sure they have reasons for that as well. But when you look at things on the whole, let's look at just the medical disability part. A biological mother would have to apply for short-term disability to cover the paid 10 weeks. Adoptive parents don't have to do that. They get the 10 weeks, no questions asked. Even if a mother exhausts the 26 weeks of short-term disability, she still is able to get an additional 10 weeks paid at 100% of her salary. If a biological father goes out on medical leave and is required short-term disability, he gets 26 weeks. He does not get an additional 10 weeks paid for a medical issue. So this is not really about medical issues. This is about time to spend with the child as the primary caregiver.
So you're saying it's an equal treatment issue, basically, a discrimination issue.
That's how we see it. It is equal treatment. It's based on an old stereotype that mothers are the caregivers and fathers are not.
And to go back to the adoptive parents issue for just a second, Josh has said in a blog that he puts out, oh, my wife and I could have a baby, then I could turn the baby over to someone for adoption, and they would have the 10 weeks paid leave, and I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's right. So long as that adoptive parent stated they were the primary caregiver, they would get a full 10 weeks paid.
Could you see an argument, though, in both cases where, okay, for a mother, there are the medical complications that come with pregnancy. For adoptive parents, it's not just a new child. It's a whole new environment usually for that child, and that requires even more bonding than, let's say, a biological parent would.
Well, I don't think that that's logical at all. I mean, there's no reason why a biological father would not need bonding time with a new child to him too. This is all about equality. It's about testing the reasons why these differences are written into the policy. And I think that when everything is fleshed out, the differences that are claimed to justify the treatment just don't hold water.
There isn't a law involved that says parents should be entitled to any paid leave whatsoever. What you're saying is if you do this for the mother, then you should do this for the father as well. Is that right?
Yes, under these circumstances, certainly. You know, the Family Medical Leave Act applies for most employers.
And that's unpaid leave, though, right?
That's right. They're only required to offer 12 weeks unpaid. So this is a generous policy by that account.
And that's the point, because couldn't the argument be made, hey, look, Time Warner is one of the places that has a pretty generous policy for parents. What's wrong with them deciding the limits of it?
Well, there's nothing wrong at all. And I think as a society, we've grown to accommodate adoptions, surrogacy. Their policy even allows the domestic partner to be a primary caregiver and receive this 10-week benefit. The only person or the only group left out of this policy are biological fathers.
Any idea how long it'll take before you know whether the EEOC will take up this particular case?
Well, these cases are always very fluid and anything can happen. Dialogue could begin. They can do mediation. The EEOC can oversee the resolution of this case. If those things all fail, then that's what the courts are for.
Could there be an unintended consequence here in that Time Warner has what everybody acknowledges is a pretty generous policy as it is? Could they and other companies who offer similar policies look at this case and say, oh, okay, if I have to treat everybody equally, instead of offering leave to fathers, I'll just walk back on the leave that I offer to mothers? And wouldn't that be counterproductive to what you're trying to achieve in the first place?
It could happen. I think it's unlikely in sort of an enlightened employer environment we're in today. You know, imagine the backlash from their employees that they would receive. I mean, the whole point is you want to attract talent and you want to retain good people. If you start reducing benefits just to spite one group, I think you'd find yourself losing a lot of good employees.
Yet the benefits, if they're already more generous than other places, if they bring them back to a level of other places, wouldn't they have very little risk of losing talented people because the benefits would then be kind of on a par with everybody else?
Could be, but I'm sure that Time Warner or CNN in this case prides themselves on wanting the very best. So if you want to attract the best, you got to pay the most.
How much strategy is involved here? If you're saying, okay, maybe the EEOC might not take up our case, we'll file it anyway, but in the meantime, Josh has gone quite public with this. The strategy might be, okay, embarrass them into making some sort of a settlement with us, and that's the way to go.
That's really not part of our strategy. I mean, obviously, this is what Josh does for a living. He is known as a commentator on family and father issues. It would be crazy for him not to speak out on this very personal issue for him. I think we see reporters all the time giving their personal take on an issue they've experienced. And this is one of those examples. This is not designed at all to embarrass anybody. It's to start a dialogue. And I hope that's what happens.
What's been the response so far in terms of starting a dialogue, either with Time Warner or the larger dialogue in the workplace?
What I have seen is really anecdotal. It's based on, you know, I've seen Josh's posts, and he's received a lot of favorable feedback from people who are surprised that fathers are not treated like everybody else.
What would you say to somebody who says, okay, if you have a two-parent couple, assuming that we're not dealing with a single father here for whatever reason, should an employer have to, especially if they both are at the same workplace, which isn't the case here, but should an employer have to cover the leave of both parents?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at the policies at play here, they do sort of anticipate in the adoptive arena that both parents might work for the same, might both work for CNN. In that situation, both of the adoptive parents are allowed to split up that time however they like. They take the 10 weeks plus the 2 weeks, and they can divide up those 12 weeks any way they want. They don't have the same policy for a father and a mother who might also work for CNN. So this is another way in which they're treating biological parents in that case differently. So there's not a lot of logic behind all of this. It just seems sort of haphazard.
Obviously, there's a process to go through here. Are you expecting that you and Time Warner will be able to negotiate something rather than have it go all the way through the EEOC process and then potentially go to court?
I hope that's the case. I mean, nobody likes to go through a long, drawn-out court situation. Nobody's ever happy at the end of that process. We would, as I said, like to have a dialogue and like to hopefully come up with a solution that everybody's happy with.
Are you concerned that there might be repercussions for Josh professionally because of this, either at CNN or along the road? A future employer might say, okay, this guy files EEOC complaints. Maybe we should stay away from him.
Well, I would hope not. As I said, this is part of what he does for a living. And to not be able to speak out on this issue, I think, would cost him credibility in what he does. You know, there are protections in the law for retaliation and things of that nature.
But retaliation can often take forms that are difficult to trace. Let's face it.
This is true. It's a tough minefield to navigate. It can happen. Believe me, we've seen it happen. I think in a public matter like this, it's usually less likely to happen. But, you know, we're prepared for all contingencies.
Weigo is public as he has, and I presume he did this in consultation with you at least, getting advice from you. Did you at any point urge him to say, okay, let's just file the complaint and not be as vocal about it on the web and in social media?
Well, you know, I've got my job and Josh has his job. And right, we certainly were aware going into this that there would be a component that might be more public than most cases.
Did he make your job harder or easier by going public?
You know, I work for my clients, and so I've got to, you know, you have to understand when somebody like Josh comes in, he's going to continue doing his job. And this is an important story that he would almost have to cover even if he weren't a part of it. And I understood that right away. And so as long as our roles are clear, I don't get involved in the doing his job, and he expects me to do mine.
Obviously, you probably have had to look up whether there have been prior cases like this. Have there been many paternity leave cases filed with the EEOC?
There have not. There have not. There are very few, and there's really only one other case that I'm aware of not in our area. It's in the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. It was a similar issue, but, you know, a different policy. So what that means is that a case like this will certainly be one of first impression in the 11th Circuit. It will get some folks' attention, I think, and hopefully we'll have a good outcome here.
The other case, has it been disposed yet, or is it still pending? Do you know?
I know that case has been disposed of. It was dismissed against the father who had filed the case.
Does that give you any concerns going into this one?
Well, it certainly did initially. But which is why we take a broad view of all of the benefits that are available to both biological mothers and biological fathers and actually members of both sexes to try to make sure we understand how all of the medical leave policies interact with each other.
What do you hope will come out of this, however it ends? Do you hope that there will be more conversations between employers and employees? And certainly employers have to consider the costs of all this.
Well, what I hope comes out of this is that biological fathers are treated the same as literally everybody else. As I've said, adoptive parents, parents with surrogacy adoptions, and biological mothers. There's simply no rationale to deny a biological father the same bonding time that you would give to other parents under these situations.
In an EEOC case, though, can costs be a concern? In other words, if an employer is saying, look, I cover mothers, it would cost me too much to cover fathers. Otherwise, I might not be able to cover anybody.
Of course, that comes into the discussion. For a company as large as CNN, they have a lot of employees, so that will be a part of that conversation. But there are ways to take a policy like this one and make it more equitable. I mentioned the ability of adoptive parents to divide the days between each other. A policy like that could be implemented between biological parents to divide up that time. And also for employers, not just CNN, but all employers, to take a closer look to make sure that when you use a medical justification for creating differences between genders, that you really make sure it is a medical issue and you're not simply just throwing out 10 weeks or some other random number that you can later claim to represent medical disability.
I talked to a number of colleagues in the reporting business, the journalism business, who are parents themselves, and they said, wow, I mean, we would love to have those kinds of benefits. And we had to do vacation time, personal leave, all of this sort of thing, and then that ran out. And even Josh had 2 weeks of paid leave himself. So what would you say to other parents who say, wow, I would love to have even the benefits that Josh and his wife had?
Well, of course, I agree with that. But I think, you know, we have to look at the society we live in today, which is that both parents are critical. in those early weeks after a child is born. It's no longer a society in which the mothers bear the brunt of that work. It's got to be shared equally between mothers and fathers. And that's really what this is about.
Andrew Kaufman is the attorney for Josh Leves, the CNN correspondent who's filed an EEOC complaint against Time Warner, the parent company of CNN, over paternity leave. Mr. Kaufman's a partner at Parks, Chesson & Walbert here in Atlanta. Mr. Kaufman, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Dennis.